Positioning defines who would you say yes to. It's that simple. There really isn't no other way to explain it. What does positioning say? Well, positioning is who I say yes to, right? Which also means who you say no to, right? Because if you take a position, you stay on that position, and that means you don't take clients that don't fit, okay? Now, I got to tell you, I personally have been a bit loose on this. I don't say no to every person that doesn't fit that specific target, but they tend to self-select themselves out, either because of my price or the conditions that I put. So not many times is me the one who's saying no. They're sort of self-selecting themselves out. But I don't want to take work that I don't want to do. Like, why? You know, like, you know, I'm my own boss. Why should I take the work I don't want to do, right? So, or deal with the person I don't want to deal with. So positioning also helps you do that. So we say no to the mediocre so we can leave space and capacity to the strong, okay? And I know that a lot of accountants want to help everybody and people are in trouble and they want to be a charity case and this and that and all those folks that work with nonprofits, which I know they run with all these situations. Look, you want to have a transformative, alternative accounting practice, you got to be able to say no to the mediocre and leave space for the strong. Otherwise, it just won't work. Okay? So positioning will define also how you serve the yeses. How you do the work, how you help them out. Positioning is going to be a unique point of view in the marketplace. So if you got a unique point of view on how you do things and why you do things, that helps build your positioning. Positioning is using a rifle, not a shotgun, right? So don't shoot to see who gets hit. Don't throw it at the wall to see what sticks. Be very precise on who you want to work with. So let's do an exercise. I want you to do this exercise and we'll do this. We'll make this the exercise portion of this. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine that you are in a holiday party, right? Because it's December and you meet a person that's brand new and they introduce you and they ask you, what do you do? What is your answer? Like, think about it, write it down somewhere. What is the answer that you give right now? Okay. Now, I want you to be honest and tell me the answer that you actually give, not the one that you would love to give. Which is the one that you give right now? Think about that. Okay? Write it down. Okay? You don't have to write it in the chat. Oh, some person says, help small businesses succeed. And Robert, I will tell you, I love that one. Way too generic. That just sounds like a big fluff, right? So let's move on to helping you define that. Okay, I'm gonna help you define that. So, how do your current best customers describe what you do to their friends and colleagues? Think about it. You have to imagine this. How does your best customer, your favorite customer, whoever you deem to be a target customer, how do they describe what you do to their friends or colleagues? And is that what you want to be known for? Because they're your best customers. I mean, if you love word of mouth and referrals, your best customers should be selling you the best possible way. Have you told your best customers how you want them to talk about you? Have you done that? Have you talked to your best customers how you wanted to talk about you, right? So if you haven't done that, you don't have good positioning, okay? That's a really important one. Now, on the other side of the coin, okay, how would your worst customers describe you to anyone, what you do? Your worst customers, the bad ones, the ones you got rid of, the ones you have, how do they describe what you do? Think about it. It's a different exercise because they have a different perception of things, right? And if what you're saying is something that you don't want them to be saying because they're your worst customers, then either why are we not getting rid of them, turning them into good customers, or re-educating them about the type of customers you want? Because what ends up happening is your worst customers or your bottom customers, they refer other bottom customers. It's amazing. I don't know. Like bad customers, they all hang out in the same club and they all refer each other. Okay? But same is true for good customers, right? So how are customers calling you? Are they calling you their bookkeeper? That's bad. Even if they're calling you their accountant, I would say borderline, that's bad. because that doesn't say anything. You don't want people to say, yeah, call my accountant, he's great. What does he do? Oh, he's an accountant. Oh, no. Because what happens is you let people draw their own conclusions about who you are and what you stand for. And that is the worst capital sin you can make for marketing and positioning. Letting other people define who you are. Letting other people come in with preconceived conditions of what you're going to do for them and how you're going to help them. Okay? So on the third layer here is, what are you best known for among your colleagues and folks in your circle of influence? So you have to do that four-prong exercise, right? Let's go back. How do you answer the question, what do you do to brand new people you're meeting in a dinner party? How do you think your best customers are describing you to the friends or colleagues? How do your worst customers describe what you do and find out why they do that and why is the perception the way it is? And what are you best known for among your colleagues and other folks in your circle of influence? And this is where being a specialist and being pigeonholed helps a lot, because I want my colleagues to all gravitate towards me when it comes to practice management training. I want all my colleagues to think of Hector Garcia when it comes to importing data into QuickBooks. That's my specialty. I want all of my colleagues to think, oh, if you're looking for high-end, advanced, practical education material, you go with for Hector. I want people to pigeonhole me for what I'm best known for, because that's the best brand and marketing you can have. Okay, but you can't have people define or use their own perception to define who you are. Okay, all right. So let's talk about vertical and horizontal positioning. So this is actually part of the strategy. Like, how do I put this together? Right. So what's a vertical? That's, well, most of us, when we hear specialize, this is what we think about. We think about industry, type of business, size, education, entity type, right? Nonprofits, churches, right? In Florida, that have more than 10 employees, whatever, right? That's the vertical, right? And that's fine, right? Verticals are great, by the way. We'll discuss why verticals are great. But verticals are great. And they're great because customers identify themselves. So you need to be able to meet customers where they are. So if they identify themselves as a small manufacturer from Ohio, then whatever they think of themselves is what they need to project upon you, right? Oh, you're the accountant for small manufacturers in Ohio, right? And also at the same time, which is interesting enough, most business owners believe their business is unique. Oh, we do things this way, nobody else does it. We have the best customer service. We have this best product. We innovate. Customers will always have their own perception, right? That their business owner is unique, very unique. So if their accountant is not unique, it's standard, you know, you're not going to be able to break through and charge what you want to charge. You need to be as unique as your customers believe they are. Okay. This is why the vertical specialization is so effective. What about horizontal specialization? That's a different part of specialization. What is the type of problem, the type of function, you know, the job task, the solution, or the temporary circumstance of the client? That's when you say, I work with growing dentists, right? That means you don't work with the ones that are not growing, right? Or I work with small business. That means you don't take big ones, right? Or I take mid-market manufacturers. I don't take light small manufacturers, right? So that's the contrast here, where the customer's temporary circumstances, which is how fast they're growing, what they're looking for, I'm looking for an exit strategy, I'm looking to sell my business, that doesn't define them, it defines them at the moment. And what defines them at the moment brings up the urgency. This is why horizontal specialization, it's so important as well. So I like to look at the cross between the two, because the customer's immediate needs require fast and effective solutions, which is why people look for the expert. They admire the expert and they pay double or triple to bring the expert. And the expert has to have both horizontal positioning and vertical positioning. And the third layer of this is your brand's promise. What is your brand's promise? Okay, you have to have a brand promise in your positioning. What is a brand promise? Well, the quality expectations, right? What the brand promise with Apple is that it's good product, easy to use. The brand promise with Amazon is you get it within 2 days, and if you don't want it, you send it back. That's the brand promise. The other piece is, What experience are they expecting to draw from interacting with you? Like, what is the experience like? What would it feel like to work with you? What would that interaction look like? What would that engagement look like? That's part of your brand promise. That needs to be communicated. It needs to be part of your of how you communicate what you do. Your brand promise is also risk reduction to the customer. Like, I'll take less risk by working with Hector because I know he's a sure thing. That's what you want. That's what people say about me. Some people say about me. And that's what you want because that helps you command prices. Your why comes into play. Like, why are you in business? Your vision, your mission, your purpose. People gravitate towards. And also your beliefs. Your beliefs, right? I mean, the way politicians brand themselves, arguably one of the best branders out there, Republicans and Democrats, great branders, right? Because they use positioning to get people that may not even agree with them on the mechanics of the politics, but they agree on beliefs. And beliefs are more powerful than logic. Belief is more powerful than reason. People believe first, reason later. Okay? And this is why it's so important to think about the value of having a brand promise and a belief system and people that gravitate towards you because of that. So that's part of your brand promise. As I mentioned, the brand promise is how people feel about working with you, and the unique positioning strategy, what I would love for you to adapt, is the combination of the three. A narrow vertical, a deep horizontal, and a simple brand promise. Like, don't overcrowd it, just have a simple brand promise, right? Why do some people buy from me? Because I'm in YouTube. And people say, all the other accountants that I look at don't have a YouTube channel. I have a simple brand promise. I'm in YouTube. That's my brand promise. Okay? My brand promise is you're expecting to get information from me in YouTube. That's my simple brand promise. So to wrap things up here, your strategy should be that when somebody asks you, and this is the exercise I would love for you to get through, is to be able, people say, what do you do? You're going to answer, I am the X for Y that wants Z. And insert X, Y, and Z. I am the X for Y that wants Z. So let's talk about mine specifically, for example. Okay. Mine is, and this is from my LinkedIn profile, helping many American manufacturing business owners take more vacations. And I have a sort of a deep meaning behind that, and I'll kind of break it down. So my target customer is US-based because I get leads from all over the world, and it's hard to charge my fees and, you know, from someone in somewhere else that's not the US. It's a closely held manufacturing business. I don't want something publicly held. I don't want something where I don't know who the decision makers are. I want to deal with the decision maker. That's why I say business owners. I want people that are busy. Like, I don't want people that are just there staring at the wall. I want when people call me to say, Hector, I'm so damn busy. I don't have time for all this. I need someone to come in and just take care of it for me or help me solve this problem. I'm so damn busy. I want that. I want those busy, overwhelmed people, because the busy, overwhelmed people are the ones that can transform the most, the ones that can provide the most value, and most importantly, the ones that can charge the most to. So that's why I say take more vacations. Take more vacations means they're busy, because they don't take vacations. And they know it. Now, I didn't put that they're busy. I said I want to take a vacation because I know for a fact that busy people hardly ever take a vacation, which means that the business needs to run without them. So I'm going to go over time at the top of the hour and go into detail on that. So I'm going to tell you about how I constructed this and how I achieved that and how what I do and how I do it all goes in line with that. So let me just fast forward here. So I'm gonna go extra 10 minutes. Okay. So for the people that have to leave, let me maybe 15 minutes, I'll go extra. But for the people that have to leave, so enough about that. Let me spend another 10 minutes to go over the rest of positioning. Like, if you thought my own positioning was interesting, I think you would like to know how I came about it. So, all right, so we're gonna go about 10 minutes over time. So as I mentioned earlier, my tagline or my positioning is I help American manufacturing business take more vacations, okay? So how did I come up with that? Well, first of all, what results am I looking to meet? Like, I'm looking to help a business owner of a manufacturer take more vacation. what needs to happen in order for a business owner of a manufacturing business to take a vacation? What needs to happen? Well, the business has to run without them, right? All of our clients have the same problem, right? Can't delegate, control freaks. You know, they feel that this goes haywire. You know, if the whole system will implode if they leave for a week and they don't take their cell phone and answer every phone call. I found that that's a common theme. Almost all my clients feel that way, and it feels dreadful, and it feels difficult, and it feels tough. And my job is to turn around that entire paradigm and say, your business can run without you. It can't. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. And this is why I'm a consultant, right? It may take some time, but it can. So what results am I looking to meet? Well, one, I'm the consultant, right? So I'm the one that has to meet these results. The result for my client is that they can take a vacation and disconnect. What as a consultant I need to do? I need to design and set up an accounting system that produces reliable information, because they need to trust the system in order for this to work. They don't trust the system, it doesn't work. So it behooves me to have bookkeeping correctly, chart of accounts correctly, accounting reconciliation. But my client doesn't care about a reconciliation or bookkeeping or bank feeds. They don't care about any of that crap. They want to look at a report and they want to rely on it. So I'm results driven. I'm there to give you a system you trust. How I do it, that's my problem. Okay? So, oh, you have 3 bank accounts, 10 bank accounts. That's not what I look at. I don't look at the items. I look at the results. Results only. Okay? Inventory needs to be in order. So I need to do everything that takes to get inventory in order. That could be training the internal staff on how to do inventory, fixing the inventory, redesigning the inventory, nomenclature of the names. And there's tons of work that happens with manufacturing companies when it comes to that. We need to make sure that orders get fulfilled properly. If people don't fulfill the orders, they can't sell, they can't make money, can't take a vacation. So it behooves me to do that. Okay. Also, I need to make sure that employees have been delegated. So I have to coach my client to letting go and delegating and using QuickBooks Enterprise with permission structures so they feel that they can give their employees access to QuickBooks so they can do their job without them having access to sensitive information or whatever that happens to be. So that's why I pick QuickBooks Enterprise for the most part for my engagements. And the owner or manager needs quick access, quick and summarized information at the click on a button when they go away, because that's the most important thing. They want to go away and they want to disconnect, but they also want to feel that I could click one thing and get what I need. And that's what I strive to achieve. And when I'm with my customers, that's how I present my services. I say, for you to take a vacation, I have to achieve this. Is this the type of consultant that you're looking for? Okay. I don't get many no's, by the way. I'm typically the one that says the no's. Because when you present it this way, people can't say no. I mean, this is like no accountant out there walks in a client's office to say, this is what I'm doing, right? Most people say, oh, I'll do your books. I'll reconcile your banks. People don't care about that stuff. I mean, people care about it because they had to. But when you teach them otherwise and you see them the world of possibilities of a results-driven consultant, it's night and day. And this makes it very difficult for people to compare me. You can't compare my offer, my engagement with any other accountant because they don't offer this stuff, right? So now how do I achieve that? So let's talk about like how I actually get there, because easier said than done, right? So one of them, skills, practice, repetition, experience, and expertise. Specialize, right? I work with QuickBooks Enterprise every single day. I work with inventory every single day. When a new nonprofit client wants to work with me, I say no, because I don't want to inundate my head with nonprofit accounting rules, because I don't care about them. I care about inventory. I care about working process. I care about I care about finished goods. I care about raw materials. That's what I care about. And that's the only thing that I allow to come into my head in terms of new skills. It's that, because that's what I need to master in order to achieve what I want to achieve. And I innovate. So I'm always thinking outside the box, researching solutions. I'm looking at how other people are doing things. I'm playing with QuickBooks and I try to see how I can adapt it to different situations. That means I get copies of the QuickBooks files. And on the weekends, I'll open it and I'll play with it to see if I can achieve something. That way I can come back to them and say, look, I tested 3 different ways of doing this. Let me show you this workaround, that workaround. I'm the king of workarounds. I'm always doing a workaround for a client. because I want them to get the reports that they want so they can take a vacation or they can feel safe to take a vacation. And I take risks. I take risks. One risk is screwing up. And if I screw up, I do it again. If I have to give money back, I give people their money back. That's how it works. I got to take the risk. I have to, in order to innovate, I have to take the risk. And I learn from failure and I document failure. How do I document my failure? I put it in a YouTube video. Put in a YouTube video, okay? And I had to spend additional time with customers to understand the real underlying problems, peeling the onion through value conversations and pricing the engagements with this extra time in mind. Because I can't solve the client's problem if I'm estimating that it will take me 3 hours to reconcile each month and it'll take me 2 hours to do this, 3 hours to do that, and I budget exactly right just so I can get them their reconciled bank statements. And I spend no time budgeted to peel the onion and spend more time with my client to find the real source of the problems. Again, for my clients to take a vacation, a lot of things need to happen. That means to have to invest serious time on helping them solve the problems. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, I document my learnings through video. So at the end of the day, am I selling accounting services? No, I'm not selling that. I'm selling system reliability, right? That people trust a system, right? It happens to be QuickBooks Enterprise, but 10 years from now, if QuickBooks Enterprise gets replaced with something else, it will be something else, okay? What I sell is system reliability. What I also sell is better corporate culture. Every one of my clients, whether I leave with them because I finished the project or I leave with them without because I fired them or they fired me, the most important thing is every single employee needs to get their stuff done and they need to do it correctly. Like all these things where one person is catching over somebody else's slack and this employee doesn't have access to this, doesn't have access to that, that doesn't fly by me because I can't help you take a vacation, guy. I can't help you take a vacation if you don't delegate and you don't let other people do their stuff. So my job as a trainer is to give people the tools to do their job right and give the owners and managers trust that someone else can do the work and can do it right. I'm selling peace of mind. That's what I'm selling. And I'm selling freedom. Freedom to take a vacation. That's what I sell. And that's what I try to transmit through my messaging. That's what I try to transmit through my positioning. I am positioned to sell you peace of mind and freedom. And a lot of stuff has to happen around it, but that is what I'm positioned to do. So what's the value of peace of mind and freedom? I don't know. I can't measure it. But if my clients take more vacations than they used to last year because they hire me, that's how I measure. The best thing you can do is have a client remember you when they're on vacation. All right, so that's kind of like how the whole thing came about. That's the exercise that I've been going through the last 5 years through mentorship, self-help, self-mentorship. I will tell you what I read. So I'm going to tell you all the books that I read in a second to tell you, you know, how I got there and kind of like all the things where I find the knowledge. But the long version is, you know, I'm the X for Y that one Z. I'm the QuickBooks consultant for business owners of American manufacturing companies that are looking to build a business that runs itself. That's kind of long, but this is my real one. This is my real internal branding positioning statement. I say it in a different way in LinkedIn just because it's easier to read, but this is who I am. I'm the QuickBooks consultant for small business owners of American manufacturers that are looking to build a business that runs itself. So everything that I do, my marketing, my messaging, my YouTube videos, my webinars, all of this stuff, it's built around that. That's my positioning. All right, so what's my vertical? American manufacturers. And I said American because number one, I want to see more manufacturing in America. Like I hate the fact that 90% of the stuff is manufactured in Asia or whatever. I like to see more. They're just, as an American, as a proud American, I like to see more manufacturing here, period. I love manufacturing. So I see American because of that. And also because I've had a tough time with international folks. So for the most part, I want US. Second one, what is the horizontal? They're looking to get their QuickBooks to work properly. And they're looking for getting multiple members working on at the same time, safely and securely accessing only the information they need to see, and all on real time, access to information on real time. And what is my brand promise? I believe business owners should take more vacations. And my results will lead to freedom, right? So that's how I construct it. And that's kind of like what I've done. All right, so strong positioning helps you identify a great customer, turn down non-target customers. Customers will find you. Bad customers drive out good customers. So I don't want bad customers. Bad leads drive out bad leads. So I don't want bad leads. And I set the rules. My customers don't set the rules. I set the rules. If you don't like them, go find another accountant. Good luck finding the one that actually helps you take a vacation. Okay? That allows you to command premium pricing. Okay? So what books do I read or what books do I love? I love Positioning for Professionals. That book talks about how to innovate through services, staffing, self-promotion, systems, and staging. They go about how you innovate your positioning around that. So those five S's are awesome, and the deep dive into that. So that book is absolute gold. Tim Williams, Positioning Professionals is absolute gold. The other book that I love, and I've mentioned it 100 times, is Implementing Value Pricing by Ron Baker. Pricing Creativity by Blair Enns. Two absolutely great books. I mean, Blair was very much inspired by Ron Baker. So a lot of Ron Baker, you see it in Blair's book. But Blair's book, it's a bit more modern. I really, really like it. So that's the two books on pricing that I think are the best books out there. When it comes to innovation, there are three books that I think are fundamental if you're looking for inspiration for innovation, right? 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel. Best book on innovation and marketing ever written. And it has nothing to do with innovation or marketing. The inspiration on how you run your business, it's in 0 to 1. Okay, it has to do with creating something, being original and new and all that stuff. The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz, great book. Real modern walkthrough to, you know, innovation and iteration and disrupting the market, all that stuff. That's a great book. And Clayton's book, which is a classic. I think there's a new version from like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. This book's about 20 years old. It's called Innovator's Dilemma. It talks about, you know, what is an innovator's true job? So I love it. He's a college professor, I think, in Harvard. He's wonderful. So then that's it. So